Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to a journey today on the subject of what is the church? Have you ever pondered that, wondered that, what is the church? Have you ever driven down the highways and byways and you see a building with a steeple or a cross and you point to it and say, that's a church? Is that a true statement? Is it a church? What is the church? What makes up the church? Why is that important to us today? That's what we're going to talk about today in this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call is invited. We'd love to have your dialogue and discussion on the issue today. Have you got questions about the church? How do you become a member of the church? What makes up the body of Christ? What makes up what we call the church? Is the church that place where we meet? Is the church based on denominational dogma or rhetoric? What is the church? Who is the church? Who makes up the church? We're going to talk about that in this broadcast today. Love to hear from you. We are going to deal with issues as we do each and every day based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus in John 8:31-32, speaking to his disciples, says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that we invite you to study, to understand, to know, and apply in life and living. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell made a profound statement that is literally a true statement today, perhaps as never before. Orwell said, and may I quote, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we could say the further a society drifts from the truth of the Word of God, the more it will hate those who speak it, because that's exactly what we see taking place today. It is the variant deviation from the truth of the Word of God. May I simply say, I believe that most of the problems in life and living in our society, in our nation today, could be resolved if we'd simply stick to the truth of the Word of God. By the way, as I say that, I'm prone to think about the Ten Commandments. We started out with 10 laws. Today, each year through the local legislative bodies and the state legislative bodies and the federal legislative bodies, we add about 250,000. You heard me, the big T, 250,000 new laws every year. And if we can't follow 10, how can we follow hundreds of thousands of new laws across the nation year after year after year? That should cause us to ponder what we're doing and what source we need to go to for life and living. Goes back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a statement, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge you, as I do each and every day, to be willing to defend the truth. I believe that we're rapidly approaching the day as we stand for truth, we will stand alone. As we stand for truth, we'll be prosecuted and persecuted. We're rapidly coming to the point and place that you, in America, as we find today, in China, North Korea, Russia, Cuba, and I could go on and on and on, with the nations that have banned God, banned the Bible, banned prayer, and turned from God. And if a Christian were to speak the truth, even in love, it is denigrated, dissed, as the world calls it, and rejected out of hand. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, a benchmark. Flagpole, I understand, is about 165 feet in the air. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag and flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm with Pastor Glenn Davis today. Pastor Davis and I always have a marvelous time as we talk about theological, doctrinal, biblical subjects that I believe is necessary for the average person in church. I'm prone to say the average Christian, but I'm saying it is necessary for the average person in church to realize some of these biblical truths that I believe so often are ignored, overlooked, or in some way demeaned in many denominational churches today. Pastor Davis, thank you for being with us.
Amen.
Looking forward to talking about this subject. What is the church?
Amen. 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 And thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. Amen. I give honor to God. Amen. Who's the head of my life and his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. To the spirit of Christ as well. Amen. And to my wife of, amen, almost 36 years. 35 right now, but almost 36. Amen. In
they
March,
fly by,
we'll be celebrating. Amen. One more year together. And I thank and praise God for her. And I love you so much.
Amen.
Amen. For sticking with me down through the years. Amen. We've been through a lot of things, but God is the one that brought us out.
He's the super
amen.
Glue that holds it together.
Amen. Amen. And I want to thank everybody, amen, for tuning in, listening this morning. Those, amen, that came out and visited at the school on last night in the class. Amen. We had a marvelous time, Dr. Youngblood. Very good discussion. And I think some of the things, amen, that we'll discuss in this broadcast today will also be beneficial, amen, to the ones that came out last night, as well as the ones that are listening, because, amen, many are confused as to what the church really is.
Yes, yes,
amen,
absolutely.
Amen. And they don't realize, amen, we can't define the church in our own terms. Getting back to what you said earlier, there is a biblical description for us to follow.
Yes.
So then, if we do it as it is described in the Bible.
That's
amen.
The recipe.
Amen. Then we're going to end up right. Amen.
Absolutely.
We're going to be doing it. Amen. Just
absolutely.
Like God wants it done.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Davis just started teaching a course this semester for Conservative Theological University. He's teaching a course on personal evangelism and soul winning outreach for the average Christian that is rarely recognized as being a needful portion or part of the local New Testament church. He's working on his doctoral degree, the doctor in ministry, and I'm thankful for him and for his life and his walk and what he's doing even now,
amen.
Not just as a continuing student to finish his work, but also a adjunct faculty member in teaching in Conservative Theological University. If you're
amen.
Listening today and you know him, you know why we have placed him in that very, very, very serious but yet important position of doing so. And so this is an invitation to you to come sit in this class. It's each Thursday evening, 6:30 to 9:30, teaching personal evangelism, soul winning. That is the lifeblood of the New Testament church.
Amen.
So let us now invite you to come. In fact, you can come for this. It's a four-week course. It's a mini-master, as it is called, and you can come for that period of time. Love to have you as our guest. You can purchase the textbook. We'll provide the syllabus and the lectures, and it won't cost you a dime if you want to do so, just to be a part of this course, to see what we do, and to see if God's perhaps calling you to enroll and sit in the classroom to study and work toward a professional, credentialed, certified associate's, bachelor's, master's, even on into your doctoral work. Love to have you.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, what is the church? Let me remind you once again, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And as I said in the preliminary portion of the monologue prior to getting into the elements of that pre-monologue statement. As you drive down the highways, and we've all done it, in fact, Pastor, I enjoy driving through the countryside and seeing the different churches, the different names of churches, the different marquees that's out on their sign, and the different statements that's there. But we all make the mistake, and I'm saying that very carefully, but very candidly. We all make the mistake as we drive down the roads and notice the various buildings, and some of them with a cross on the top of them, some of them with a steeple, and we'll look at that and we'll say, as we look at that building, so there's a church. Is that a correct statement to say there is a church or that is a church? What about many churches today that say we're non-denominational churches? In fact, we're finding more and more, Pastor, of the churches that are removing the name Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, et cetera, et cetera. And I've always said, Pastor, as I'm traveling, as I'm looking for a place to eat, I see the Golden Arches. I know what they serve.
Amen. Amen.
I see the one that's called Burger King with the king with the crown on, as the sign at one time was the major portion. I know what they serve. As we look for a restaurant, we know what Cracker Barrel serves. We pretty much know what Olive Garden serves. We know what Longhorn Steakhouse serves. And it's based on the name that we know what's behind the door that intrigues us, invites us to go in.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
That name. And yet we're doing that today so often with a nameless church. In fact, many buildings that house the church, and we'll talk about that in a moment, that's not the church. What about all the new places of worship that are being organized and set up today? There's no designation, no distinction. Why is that so? What if we just say church? Church. For all of the various names and brands and buildings, would that be correct? So what really I'm asking, what I'm really asking today, Pastor, want our audience to be cognizant of this, what is the church?
Amen.
Who makes up the church? Why do we call it the church? What is that designation for? First of all, the church is not a denomination, ladies and gentlemen. I know that will deflate many egos. Church is not a denomination. I remember a number of years ago when we were first out in this community starting this work, about 35, 36, 37 years ago, knocking on a door, and as we're door knocking, reaching people, just simply letting them know we're here, we'd love to invite you. A lady said, well, I have, you know, I'm a member of, and she named a major recognized Baptist church and slammed the door in my face. It is amazing the idea that people feel inflated or prideful based on the denominational name or based on the size of the church or based on the wealth of the church or based on the ethnicity of the church or based on the societal norms that they find that they've embraced in the church. But is that the church? Is that the true church?
Amen.
Where we say, well, let's go to church. All of us have done that, Pastor. Back when our boys were growing up, we'd get up on Sunday morning and say, we need to get ready for church.
Amen.
We're going to church. We need to go down to the church house. Many people today will say, I'm going to church. I'm going to that church or this church or the other church. We generally speak of the building or the place where we go to worship as being the church. This is not a building that we worship. When we talk about worship, when we talk about church, it's not the biblical understanding of the word church. So what is the church? What is the church? That's what we're talking about today. So ladies and gentlemen, if you have any thoughts, ideas, or what you've been brought up to believe as the norm, love to hear from you. We'd love to talk about that. We'd love to clarify what has been a muddled, mangled understanding of the true church today. So Pastor, first of all, we need to look at what I call the definition of the church. So, ladies and gentlemen, so that you know where we're going, we'll look at the definition of the church. We're going to look at the distinctions of the church, and then we're going to look at the designation of the church and the directive of the church. Now, that gives you a heads up of where we're going in relationship to this. Ladies and gentlemen, what I've literally done today, I've taken a 16-week theological doctrinal course on ecclesiology. I have a notebook about 4.5 inches thick with the lecture notes. And I've taken that and I've boiled it down to what can be ingested for this brief period of time on this broadcast today. But I would encourage you, if you want to know fully and great detail about what is the church, we'd love to have you to enroll Conservative Theological University.
Amen.
You can dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That number is good any place that you pick up the phone and dial it. 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your name, information, and how we can get back with you. Someone will call you and try to schedule a time that we can have either a telephone interview or an in-person interview to get you enrolled. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a deacon, if you're a pastor, associate pastor, if you lead the music, if you are simply a church member, as we call it, if you're born again and you want to study the Word more, we'd love to have you. It's
Amen.
A perfect
Amen.
Opportunity to jump in. We're on, what, our third week now?
Amen.
In
yes,
classroom,
sir.
Uh-huh. So you still have time to jump in for this semester. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the designation of the church? The word church is the translation of the Greek word ekklesia. That's E-K-K-E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ekklesia. The word ek means out of. Then the balance of the word ekklesia literally means the called out ones. So the church, ladies and gentlemen, is the called out ones. Those have been called out from the world, called out unto salvation, called out unto the service of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So the church is not a building.
Amen.
I want to
Amen.
Set that straight. Church is not a building. Church is not where we go to. The church is not a place that could be considered a denomination. So there's a Baptist church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is not designation for the church. There may be different denominational dogmas, different denominational titles. That's all right. But the true church is not a building at all. It's not a denomination at all. It is not something that we can look at. It is the body of the called out ones, the people of God. In fact, Pastor, I believe you have it handy. Romans chapter 16, verse 5. Romans 16, verse 5. I want you to notice what the text says. And we could literally, ladies and gentlemen, if time would allow, we go to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of texts to validate what we're talking about in this brief study today. It's a theological doctrinal study on what is the church. It is termed ecclesiology, the study of the church, in a theological term. What is the church? The church is not the building. The church is not a denomination. So read Romans 16, 5 for us, Pastor.
Amen. Romans 16 and 5 says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ.
So the statement says very clearly and distinctly there, ladies and gentlemen. It says in that Romans 16:5, greet the church that is in thy house, their mm-hmm. house. So greet the church that's in the house. Understand? You could say, greet the church that is in the building that's called the church. Greet the church. Church is talking about the, and we'll talk about it in parts in a moment. It is the body of baptized believers that's called the church. It's not the building. It is not the house that you meet in, but it's the body of Christ.
Amen.
And we're going to look at that in as much detail as we can in this brief period of time. So, ladies and gentlemen, the church building is not the church. The church biblically is a body of baptized believers who are saved. This includes all who have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Pastor, the question that our listeners need to analyze, scrutinize, and internalize is, are you a part of the body of Christ? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Unless you've done that, you're not a part of the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You're not a Amen. Baptized, born-again believer.
Amen.
You're not part of his body. And yet, Pastor, one of the things, and I'll get the cart before the horse probably, as the old-timers used to say, but there are a lot of folks in churches today that have never been saved.
Amen.
A lot
Amen.
Of people in churches today that believe that if I just get baptized, I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen.
Got a lot of baptized church members that's going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
A lot
Amen.
Of folks that have been baptized, some have been baptized time. I know a lady that said she came up out of the baptismal waters in another denominational church, and it was on video footage. She came up out of the water, clapped her hands, says, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. This is my 99th time of getting baptized.
My, my.
There are a lot of people today, Pastor, that believe that if you just join the church and you get baptized, that somehow, some way, you're going to be a believer, that you're going to be saved. But, ladies and gentlemen, it might burst the bubble that you believed for all of these years, but it's time that that happens. It's time that we understand that being a member of a church, or even being baptized as a member of the church does not save anyone.
Amen.
It is not the church.
Amen.
In fact, the church is the universal body of Christ, of which Jesus Christ is the head. Pastor, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to read for our listeners today, verse 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23.
Amen. Ephesians 1, 22, 23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
So when we see what the scripture says, Pastor, it is in that text, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and he, speaking about Jesus, hath, past tense, put all things under his feet and gave him, that's Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23 then, which is his, that's Jesus' body.
Amen.
The fullness of him.
Amen.
That filleth all things. So ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get us to understand, the church is the universal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be a church meeting in Jacksonville, and there are numbers. There may be a church meeting in your community, and there are numbers. There may be a church that has a title over the door that says Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, et cetera, et cetera. But the church is the body of Christ, not the building, not the designation, not the title or the denomination, but it's the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head over all of his body.
Amen. Amen.
So we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the church, the description, the definition of the church. So let's summarize it. The definition of the church is the body of Christ. Christ, if there's the body, there's got to be a head. Jesus Christ is the head over the body, and if he is not the head over the head indicates instruction, head indicates control, head indicates direction. If you want to do something with your fingers on the left hand, your brain, the head, must give it instructions. If you want to walk, your head, the brain, must give instructions to get up, stand up, walk around, and go to where you're going. The head is the instruction for the body.
Amen.
And Jesus Amen. Christ is to be the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. And if you're not allowing the head to give instructions, you're not part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Does that make
Amen.
It pretty clear?
Amen. And remember, Dr. Youngblood, I'm so glad you said all of that, because some pastors, I mean, I don't know why, but they promote the false notion to people many a times, and they end up in a shipwreck in the church
mm-hmm.
because they let anyone come and put their names on the books as a church member without being regenerated or born again.
Right.
Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus for nothing to marvel not that I said unto you that ye must be born again.
That's right.
Except a man be born again, and he explained the whole process. He said, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't even see that.
That's right.
The place where God rules and reigns, you can't understand anything connected to that until you are born again. You've been blood washed. Amen. Your mind has been washed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You've been changed.
That's
amen.
Right.
That individual. Amen. Amen. Then becomes fitting to join up with the body of Christ.
Right.
There is no bones connected to the body of Christ that are disjointed.
That's right. All fitly joined together,
Amen.
The scripture says.
But what makes you fitting, or what makes you fit into that body, is when you have been born again.
That's right.
So let's make sure we understand that you don't run just for fire insurance and put your name on a book and say, now, amen, I'm on my way to heaven because my name is on Dr. Young's blood book.
That's right.
Amen. And he's not going to let you come, so I'm not going to tell you to go over there. Just forget
it's not a matter of the name of the pastor that you're in his book.
Amen.
It's in the book of life.
Amen.
Amen. Have. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life when we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
There's a long, detailed theological diatribe about that also. The name's written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world, the scripture
Amen.
Said, because of the sovereign foreknowledge of God, knowing when we'd say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
But, Dr. Youngblood, I know many of churches that have, even right now, they're still making these mistakes. You know, I've been to two services here just lately and watch pastors take people in and let them be called a church member, and they've not said yes to Jesus Christ. Now, okay, I'm mighty afraid on Judgment Day, a lot of them are going to have a lot of blood on their hands. Because if these people die and lose their souls, the scripture let us know, amen, you're going to be held accountable for that.
Absolutely. In fact, in Matthew 7, Pastor, the scripture is very clear. All that say, Lord, Lord, does not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
But
amen.
Those that do the work, those that say yes, those that follow, those that are obedient to the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's
amen.
A dangerous thing, ladies and gentlemen, to be just a member of the church, never having said yes to Jesus Christ personally, in submission and surrender unto the lordship of Jesus Christ. So, Pastor, we've determined now, in the definition, we have defined what is the church. It is the group of called out ones. We are called out of the world into faith to Jesus Christ. It is very, very clear. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
For that person who said yes to Jesus Christ. He's a new individual. He has a new want to, a new attitude, a new direction, a new compass, a new mindset, a new modus operandi, as I call it, once we've said yes to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very easy from the natural simply to look back. And I challenge you today, look at those around you, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your denominational place of worship that you call the church. How many are there that old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new? 1 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. 2 Corinthians, that is, 5:17 through 21. Behold, all things have become new. How many do you see that they still have the same language, still have still have the same attitudes, still go to the same bars, lounges, and as they used to call them, jug joints.
Amen.
They still go
Amen.
To the same places that's antithetical to a Christian's walk, and yet say they're saved. It's I say a lot of times it's people that'll go any place, do anything, Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, it's y'all to come the preacher, let's act saved. Let's put on a suit, let's look good, let's clean up, let's go to church, and so that we look all right. I think folks have the idea if you look good, you look saved, that's okay. It's the outward appearance.
Amen.
But God's looking at the heart. He knows whether or not we've said yes to him as Savior and as Lord. But not only the definition of the church, but secondly, we want to understand briefly the distinction of the church. So who makes up the body of Christ? Who makes up the church? What is the biblical distinction of the church? The church is a congregation, assembly of believers. What are some of the characteristics, Pastor, that we want to talk about? We'll get into it. Then after our news break, we'll wrap it up on that thought. First of all, we're called the building. Now, listen carefully. I've already said the church is not the building, but we're called the building, the figure that's used in the Bible, that we are the temple of God. 2 Corinthians 5:1. We're called the building. It is the temple of God. It is the place where God's people meet. It is the place that if we're the building, there must be a building maker and a foundation for that building. Pastor, quickly read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, and then we'll leave off there, and after the news break, we'll come back and further elaborate. We're talking about the characteristics of the Christian, of the church, of the body of Christ. We're called the building. We're called the bride. We're called the body. We're called the branches. We'll talk about that in a moment. Read that text.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute break at the top of the hour news. After the break, we're going to come back. We're going to continue our study today. What is the church? Formulate your thoughts, formulate your questions. Be glad to answer them right after the break. We're looking forward to a continuous of this subject today. What is the church? Join us. Don't turn the dial. We'll be right back in just a moment.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.